DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Archdiocese of Omaha, presents the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. The United States Catholic Catechism for Adults is an adaptation of the Catholic Catechism. It serves as a resource for those who wish to become acquainted with Catholicism. It is an invitation for all the faithful to continue growing in the understanding of Jesus Christ and His saving love for all people. The United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Chapter 32, The Eighth Commandment. Tell the truth. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Catechism of the Catholic Church, Numbers 2464 to 2513. The bishop told and defended the truth. The Catholic Church will always need a vehicle for telling the truth to the public and to her members about her positions on problems in society, her hopes for people's happiness, and her fresh insights into the eternal gospel of Christ. This becomes acutely necessary when forces outside the Church distort her teachings, misrepresent her intentions for society, and attempt to diminish the Church's life and integrity. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2466. One man who understood this need was Father John Francis Knoll. Born in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1875, he knew early on he wanted to be a priest. After completing studies at St. Lawrence College in Mount Calvary, Wisconsin, he attended Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Cincinnati, Ohio. Bishop Joseph Rademacher ordained him a priest for the Fort Wayne Diocese in 1898. Within 2 years, Father Knoll became a popular pastor in the Fort Wayne area. A man of prodigious energies, he not only served his people with zeal, but also found time to respond to the larger issues affecting the church of his time. He discovered he had a special talent for journalism, a gift for writing that he put at the service of the apostolic needs of the church. In the beginning, his mind was focused on people outside the church, those whom he wished to convert to Catholicism, and those who specialized in anti-Catholic bigotry and propaganda. His first venture for converting non-Catholics was a booklet, Kind Words from Your Pastor. He chose a welcoming title to disarm suspicious readers and offer them an inviting book and a look at Catholic teaching. In 1913, he wrote Father Smith Instructs Jackson, an imaginary dialogue between a priest and a potential convert. A bestseller for over 60 years, it was a huge publishing success, as well as a remarkable evangelizing tool that brought countless numbers of people into the church. When it came to defending the church against various anti-Catholic attacks, Father Knoll began to publish a four-page newspaper, Our Sunday Visitor. In the years that followed, this project became a general interest Catholic newspaper with a national circulation that continues to serve the cause of the Catholic truth to this day. In 1925, Father Knoll founded the magazine Acolyte, which in 1945 became Priest, a publication that continues to support and serve the needs of clergy. Eventually, these efforts were organized into Our Sunday Visitor Publishing Company, to which was added a full-scale book publishing section. In 1925, Father Knoll became the Bishop of Fort Wayne. During his 31-year tenure, he helped to make the church's influence on society more visible. He was one of the original members of the bishop's committee that formed the Legion of Decency to combat immorality in the movies by evaluating films and rating their suitability or absence thereof for public viewing. Father Knoll was the first chairman of the National Organization of Decent Literature. Ever the evangelizer, he served on the Board of Catholic Missions for 25 years. Pope Pius XII gave him the honorary title of Personal Archbishop in 1953. Bishop Knoll died in 1956. As priest and as bishop, John Francis Knoll understood the implications of the Eighth Commandment. Not only should each person avoid lying and tell the truth, but individuals and the church herself must publicly proclaim the truth and expose the deceit of those who willfully undermine the church. He knew the value of presenting the truths of the church in a clear manner and was unafraid to defend the church against her detractors.
Welcome, Your Excellency.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you again.
We are on the Eighth Commandment, and as the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, it talks about to tell the truth, not just to not lie, but it's important to proclaim the truth, isn't it?
Very important, and you know it's been highlighted all through the Scriptures, but certainly in the Commandments, we're told not to bear false witness against our neighbor, but really the chapter here does go into so much about the necessity of really speaking the truth, not just either avoiding what's not true or catching ourselves from saying something that's not true, but really the responsibility that Christians have, particularly to share the truth of the gospel and to do that in season and out of season.
In this particular commandment, I think a lot of us might be able to ascertain when we consciously tell a lie. But that is not always so easy. Sometimes we kind of lull ourselves in to not telling that truth.
And our culture encourages that kind of lack of respect for the truth, I think. We can sometimes excuse what we euphemistically call little white lies or variations or shades of the truth. But really a virtuous man or woman look for every opportunity to speak the truth. We speak the truth in love, as the Scripture encourages us to do, but to be known as a man or woman of the truth, a person of integrity, someone whose word is good, and we're conformed more perfectly to Christ in that way, who is truth himself and reveals the truth of God's will, God's plan to us. There are several aspects of this that this chapter discusses. We are, of course, forbidden from telling outright lies, whatever the motive for that might be, whether it's to get ourselves out of trouble, to make ourselves look better, to cause harm to someone else. Because the truth is rooted in God, ultimately, the truth has claim on us and on our speech. We're also counseled in this chapter, and it's part of our tradition, to avoid detraction, which is telling something truthful, perhaps, about another person, but that is that's critical, that points out a fault or a shortcoming. That's often what happens in when people are gossiping with one another, where we begin to pick other people apart and perhaps say or describe things about them which are factually true or observable, but our talking about it highlights it or exaggerates it in a way that, just as the term says, it detracts from the dignity of from that person's worth in the estimation of other people.
That's a difficult one. It is so easy to slide into what we know it to be as gossip. What is it in our hearts that will allow that type of assault on another's dignity?
Well, it has to be the effect of original sin, because we are drawn into it so easily, and it's amazing to watch people's ears perk up when gossip begins, and especially if somebody has a tidbit that maybe nobody else knows that might be particularly salacious or critical about another person. So it's important, as we look at the Eighth Commandment, to remember that even though I might be saying something that's truthful about another person, the fact that it may be critical or somehow detract from that person's reputation, that's forbidden by this commandment and by the demands of Christian behavior. We also have what goes under the term here, calumny, which is actually telling a lie about another person. So to tear down another person's reputation or detract from their character by actually making up something that isn't even true, that often does happen in gossip as well, or it might be a spiteful or a vengeful thing. But in any case, it's absolutely forbidden. The study of this commandment makes that clear.
Part of the motivation might be in the hearts of some, and we've discussed this, maybe compulsion by some people, I'm not sure exactly the right term to use, but to enter into this because for one reason or another they feel that a greater good is served by maybe telling others about someone, or by maybe exaggerating just a little bit more because they feel in their hearts this particular person would cause damage, and so there's a greater good.
As we examine our behavior in this regard, we shouldn't let ourselves off the hook too easily, you know, and think that somehow I have a responsibility to the common good to tear down the reputation of another person. Often it's just gossip, pure and simple. And as I said, there's something disordered in that kind of conversation about another person. It's not respectful. It really doesn't serve good. There are times, of course, when we have a responsibility to perhaps report conduct of another person that we have observed or that others may have observed because of the common good or because there's danger to that person or to someone else. And then, of course, we're not talking about detraction. Then we're talking about really doing something that's charitable and maybe something that's required. Some simple examples, if we have somebody working in a kind of a dangerous occupation, there may be safety rules and standards of conduct that are expected of those who work in that particular area in order to protect the individual workers, but also others who might be working around them. If a worker would see a coworker doing something that would be putting the other's life in danger or maybe endangering the group, it would be important to, if he couldn't get the attention of the one who was committing the violation, to report that to a responsible party so that common good can be respected. In the church these days, we have codes of conduct with regard to how adults deal with minors. We know that there are certain things that are expected both for the protection of young people, but also for the protection of adults who work with them. And so if we would observe someone violating that code of conduct or doing something that seemed unusual or questionable, to bring that to the attention of a supervisor would be a good thing. That's not the same thing as detraction. It's simply saying what we observe, and then the responsible party can deal with that information. It's not said so much as a criticism to tear down the person that we're observing, but rather to, in that case, really to protect others and to serve the common good. So there are those instances, and those are responsibilities that we don't shirk from. But ordinary gossip, at the coffee pot or, at someone's kitchen table or at dinner, wherever it might be, to fool ourselves into thinking, that somehow is going to serve the common good. I think that's, we're not being honest with ourselves at that point. This is difficult, though, and it does require the recognition of the virtue of being respectful of other people and then to rehearse it, to practice it. And particularly if we belong to a group of friends or if there's one other person that we find we're falling into gossip with very easily, perhaps to have a conversation about that. See if we can't encourage each other when we feel ourselves sliding into it or see somebody else doing it, to be able to gently bring that up and say that, maybe it's time to change the subject and, talk about baseball or football or something that mm-hmm. doesn't have the possibility of really hurting the reputation or diminishing the dignity of another person.
It's sad that we're in a culture now that finds it an acceptable cynicism to say that we look at politics of the world and say, oh, this is why we don't trust them. Or to look at the media or the news organizations and say, oh, they have a bias and we don't trust them.
There's an awful lot of chatter these days that doesn't serve the truth and that doesn't give us the impression that we're really being given truth. You're right to use the word cynicism. We certainly can be cynical about those who serve us in public office, who many times, not always, of course, but many times can be observed to really try to cover up things that they may have done or said in the past that may have been objectionable or wrong. Until they're caught, then there may be a very tearful or emotional confession and owning up to all of it. But there's the sense that the truth wouldn't be told if somebody weren't cornered. Fine, at a certain point, to be able to tell the truth is the right thing, but it should be told sooner rather than later, to the extent that it's appropriate to give details of something in public. This chapter in the Adult Catechism goes into a nice discussion, I think, about what you raised, the responsibility of the media, particularly now with 24-hour news channels on television and on the radio, and then the constant activity in the blogosphere. I say that with all due respect to you and others who use that medium very beautifully. We know these things are not unmixed blessings, so there's many good things that can come as a result. But the constant filling up the time and space with comment, with talk, does not lessen the responsibility to be truthful, to take the time and the reflection necessary to say something that will represent the truth. Very often in the haste to report something, to be the first to report it, again, often appealing to the weakness that we have, the susceptibility to love bad news or kind of riotous news, we get reporting that ends up being very fragmentary and often misleading. Maybe the intention isn't to mislead deliberately, but the haste or the incompleteness of the reporting does, by its nature, mislead us, or maybe sometimes lead us in a very wrong direction about a person or an event. So there's a responsibility, particular responsibility for those who have a position in the media, to same responsibility that belongs to the rest of us, to try to find out what's really true and then to report it as fully as possible, as respectfully as possible.
Not only is it incumbent on somebody who's relating information, maybe through a news organization, newspaper, radio, wherever you may be, but also within the confines of an everyday work experience, whether you might be working at a school or you work in a factory or at a store, knowing when to speak up when you see something disingenuous or something that's an outright lie that affects others, that can be a terrain area that can be perilous to try to navigate sometimes.
Sometimes that sort of thing goes under the term of whistleblowing, you know, where a person sees something in the workplace particularly, could be in academia, could be any place, that's really not appropriate or that they see as harmful or going against policies or rules. To, it takes a certain amount of courage to bring that up and to bring it up in a respectful forum. If a company, a workplace, if a school in the church of an archdiocese, for example, if it's a healthy environment, then there should be a readily apparent way to raise concerns that can be received respectfully as they're given and where there are no recriminations for the person who's bringing the information forward. That's not always the case that it's that it would be so healthy or respectful. I think as we set up organizations or structures, we don't want to signal at all to people that we don't want to hear anything bad. We don't want any bad news. Because it may be very important for someone to communicate something. And what they see or perceive may not be completely true, or they might not have the whole story. We ought to be able to communicate that we respect someone for trying to raise something that's an important issue for them and try to follow up on it with them to the extent that it's appropriate.
The story of Franz Lagenstatter, and he represents many, many people who... Here is a man who had to speak up finally and paid a price for what he was witnessing in the world, in particular what the Nazis were doing in Germany, and he felt called to speak truth. And it did, in this world, cost him.
Well, and we begin to see this in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, at the very beginning of the church, where the apostles and then others in that first generation of Christian believers began to preach the gospel, not only live it themselves, but also share the light of gospel truth with others. And it was not always well received by the authorities, by others. The gospel brings with it a challenge and a judgment by its very nature. And as was in the case with Jesus himself, it's not always welcome by those who are in positions of responsibility or have something, feel that they have something to lose. There are examples of that in every generation, in every century of the life of the church. We have been encouraging Catholic people, and in particular other people of goodwill, in the last couple of years to really take a careful look at some of the regulations or expectations that our federal government or sometimes state governments put on people or organizations implementing particular policies. Healthcare is an obvious one. And we see that some of these things would be encouraging Christians to violate their consciences in terms of complying with particular regulations, supporting particular policies. And so there's an encouragement for all of us to, you know, not take that lying down, not only not to cooperate with evil, but to really speak out against it. That sometimes does come with a price. In that process, though, we are offering the encouragement, as this chapter of the Catechism does, for Catholics to be active in the public square, be willing to share the truths of our faith, the light of the gospel, with others. We share that as a gift. We don't beat people over the head with it. We don't want to oppress anybody with what we see as the truth. But the truth does cry out to be proclaimed, to be shown, to be shared. In cases, very often, we can come to the truth by natural reasoning as well as through the gift of God's revelation. We have the responsibility and a privilege, really, of trying to engage our family members, our neighbors, our fellow citizens, in a conversation that might lead us to a deeper understanding of the nature of things, so that when laws or policies are being formulated, they are respectful of human dignity and respectful of human conscience, We have a sense that some things that are being proposed these days aren't so respectful in those regards. And so we have writing campaigns and we have rallies and any number of ways to try to, again, not just express our opinion, but raise the issues of truth and of human respect that perhaps are being violated or impinged by these regulations.
That's what's so key about this particular commandment, is that it's not as much about not just telling a lie, but it's to tell the truth. And there are those out there that will say, well, your truth is different than my truth. And how can that be determined?
If we say, you know, I have my truth and you have your truth, it's the same thing as saying there isn't any truth. The truth is, it's sort of meaningless. We have our opinions or we have our view of things. And that's, of course, always the case. But for most of human history, there has been kind of an implicit understanding that there are universal and basic truths that we can get to, that we can discover or understand by reasoning, often by reasoning together. And, of course, in our faith, we have the benefit of God's revelation, which doesn't contradict those truths of reason, but really highlights and solidifies them and helps us see their beauty. The recent Holy Fathers have reminded us that part of our responsibility now, in a particular way, the gift really that we bring to the larger society as a light for the world is by first living, but then also being willing to talk about and share the truths of our faith, truths, again, also that are also grounded in the natural law and in human reason. It's easy enough to be defensive or even to sort of close in on ourselves and to say, well, I'm going to follow God's law and do what's right, but I can't help what anybody else does, and that's really none of my business. We do have this rich understanding of the common good, the understanding that society will flourish and human dignity will be respected to the extent that we're all interested in knowing the truth about human life and human conduct, and that we're working together, however imperfectly, to try to establish standards, rules, virtues, whatever name we want to use, that pull us in the direction of the truth and not in the opposite direction.
Is it possible to sin and not saying anything at all? Just keeping our mouth shut and just not doing anything?
Yes, that's very possible. It's really neglect our moral responsibility. We can look at it in an individual case, but also kind of our collective responsibility. If, for example, someone is being accused of a crime or a violation of a policy or whatever it might be, and we know that what they're being accused of is not true, and we have observed or we have reason, evidence to exonerate them, then we have the responsibility to share that information. Or on the other hand, if we see somebody doing something dangerous or that puts someone else's life in danger, or we believe that somebody is about to harm themselves seriously, we have a responsibility to speak up in an appropriate way. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers in that regard, and we owe it to them in Christ to share the light of truth at that moment. But also, we have this collective responsibility to witness to what's true, and we do it individually sometimes. You know, we have to make the individual decision to participate, but the witness is better done in groups. So a very clear example in our time is the witness to the dignity of every human person. So we have the huge March for Life in Washington, D.C. Every year, most state capitals, you have something similar. People have opportunities to sometimes pray before an abortion clinic or other places. Not everybody has the obligation or even the opportunity or ability to do that. But I think we need to be looking for ways that we can assert together, not just the truths of our faith, but the truths about the dignity of the human person. And to not say that's everybody else's responsibility. I'm not hurting anybody, so I'm just going to mind my own business. That's great as a minimum, but we can be asking ourselves, what more could I do? One person's voice may seem kind of faint or muted, but when we put several together, it can make a big difference. We don't just add to the volume when we add our voices, but we offer encouragement to other people, and we have lots of evidence of our neighbors who've been influenced by the witness of those who've kind of put themselves on the line in a public way to speak about something that's important.
Any final thoughts on the Eighth Commandment?
One of the things that we didn't touch on, and I could just do it briefly, is the sometimes we have the responsibility not to say something. You know, we've talked about the responsibility to speak up, but there's a whole category of confidentiality that that needs to be respected. And here again, in a culture where we're not only encouraged to gossip among ourselves, but when gossip is sent out over the airwaves, the idea of keeping our big mouth shut is not necessarily promoted. But we know that people in certain professions have this expectation. Physicians or attorneys are expected, even though they have information, expected not to share it, even if someone asks them, if it's not appropriate to share, if it's not anybody's right to have that information, it shouldn't be shared. Certainly we would expect that same kind of respect between spouses and in families. You know, the things that go on at home shouldn't necessarily be broadcast in the neighborhood and to other people. We owe that to one another. And where we find sometimes we have confidential personnel information as we work in various ways, you know, there's an importance of keeping that confidential. Again, not hiding things that should be appropriately shared with authorities or with someone in a responsible role. But I think here's where a prayerful reflection comes in, that sometimes even though somebody's asking for information, they don't necessarily have a right to it. And we don't have to tell them if it's not their right. And so it's not a lie to say, I don't know, or that's not appropriate for me to talk about that now or something. Really, it's however we can sort of deflect those questions. That can be appropriate, really, in some ways, the virtuous thing to do at that moment, not to gossip or share information that's not appropriately shared.
Mm-hmm. Seeking the prayerful counsel of a pastor. I mean, that to someone who can help you to kind of navigate through that, maybe a very rocky sea you're trying to navigate.
Sure, a pastor or another trusted confidant. You know, most of us realize there's some people in our lives we know that really do keep confidence and where we can discuss something respectfully in their presence, get some advice or counsel from them and know that it's not going to go any further. There again, you see the virtue present in someone who has a healthy respect for the truth, both of knowing when to speak the truth and also when, you know, to not say anything, to share information that's been offered to them in confidence.
Thank you so much, Your Excellency.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. To learn more about the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, go to usccb.org, the website for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or download this episode, along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com in cooperation with the Archdiocese of Omaha. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas.